Talk Radio.
I just celebrated a birthday, and those of you who sent me greetings on the 13th, I want to thank you. That was really nice. Probably wouldn't have known about it. I didn't mention anything, but when you're on Facebook, they basically post it all over the place, and it was nice to hear from people and to know that you're another year older. I kind of look at birthdays as the starting point for the next year. So the 13th was my birthday, and it's kind of like, okay, now I'm thinking about the next 12 months. What is happening? What is going on? What do I want to accomplish? And, you know, it was funny. I was thinking about Mexico and how much I love the Yucatan area. And of course, that's Maya land. And I think what I want to do is I want to sponsor a tour. I want to take some of you down with me to the Yucatan. Let's do it in April. Let's start planning. I typically stay in Cancun, and they have these amazing packages. And I'm thinking about going for 7 days in April. The beauty of that is that they have these couples packages, and you don't have to be a couple, but typically it's about $100 a day. And if you stay in an all-inclusive hotel, that includes your breakfast and one major meal, plus they have snacks for lunch. It's usually breakfast, afternoon snack, and dinner. And the dinners are buffet style, but they're usually really great. And there's a couple of hotels. There's a chain down in Cancun, and it's usually about $500 for a couple for 7 days. It's unheard of. So anyhow, I'll post more information. If you want to join me, I'm probably going to take 20, maybe 25 people. We're going to tour the pyramids at Chichen Itza, Uxmal, and then I'm going to get some special access to Coba, and that's really the only place you can climb one of the pyramids, a couple of the pyramids. And I'll talk a little bit about what I understand, my research, my understanding. We'll do some meditations around some of the pyramids so you can feel some of the energy. And you do not have to know how to meditate. When you close your eyes and kind of center down and quiet your brain when you're sitting around some of these buildings, you can actually feel the pulse. And as you know, the new research shows that these many pyramids are built over geomagnetic fields, and the energy is pulsing up. The pyramid captures it, amplifies it, and then shoots it out. So when you sit by them, you feel this if you close your eyes. Most people don't know that. And if my teacher is there, Humbatsman, we'll talk a little bit about the Maya, the ancient history of the Maya. We'll make it a week of fun stuff and then give you a day or so to kind of do your own thing. Because if you haven't been to Yucatan, there's a lot of really cool things to do. So if you'd like to join me, it's going to be April 2017. I think it's going to be the last part of the month. Send me an email. Let me know, hey, Cliff, I'd like to join you. Send it to cliff@earthancients.com. And we'll do it. We'll check it out, because that's really a cool place to check out. It's just really, I every time I go down there, I want to stay longer, but I can't. So you'll get a real sense of ancient history. And of course, my belief is that the Maya are direct descendants from a very advanced civilization, You can call it Atlantis. I don't know if it's Atlantis, but Edgar Casey says it was. But a very sophisticated scientific culture that engineered these pyramids. And when you see them up close, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it'll be fun. So join me. On the Facebook page this week, tons to talk about, as always, a lot of interesting news. I posted a couple of galleries, one specifically on the Suku Hindu Temple in Indonesia. And I posted it because of our guest today, Danny Rwutu. He talks about the Suku Temple, but this is an opportunity to see the details. And when you're done with today's program, go to the Facebook Earth Ancients page, and you'll see all the details on what is going on with this temple, the sculptures, the unique aspects of it. A lot of people feel that it has characteristics of Maya temples, and I see a little bit of that, but I don't see a great deal. I see just some of the base of it. These are much smaller temples than you see in Yucatan, but still very important, and it's an opportunity to kind of follow along with what Danny's going to talk about today. So you can see that on the Facebook page. Some other interesting news, the device known as the Antikytheria mechanism, which was discovered in 1900 off the coast of Greece, has now been analyzed, and they are now of the belief, scientists are now of the belief that it was one of many devices, probably a whole industry of creating these devices. And there's a video I've posted on the YouTube page, or excuse me, on the Facebook page, a complete working device. And this mechanism was handed down to the Greeks. It's just too sophisticated. We have no other evidence of mechanisms like this in Greek culture. And because of the design, because of the sophistication of the gearing and the inner workings of this, scientists now believe that it was probably one of many types of astronomical devices that were used thousands of years ago. Now, this device is conservatively estimated to be 2,000 years old, but they really don't know. The carbon dating is based on what they found in this object, but there is evidence that it could be significantly older, and there's other possibilities for machinery or mechanisms like this. So it was used, they believe, for seafaring journeys to check the approximation of stars, to know where they're going. And it's a mechanism, and it's fascinating. So check out the video. Look at it complete in its completion. You can see it on the Facebook page. Go to group. And I'd love to see more of these kinds of things discovered, because I believe that there's a whole missing history of these devices.
Coming to you live from around the world, it's Earth Ancient News.
And this is kind of cool. Off the coast of California, there's a series of islands. And this is the island called Santa Rosa Island. They have found an excellent, completely preserved mammoth skull. And you might not think that's pretty, anything that's unique, but they've carbon dated it to be 13,000 years ago. That would be corresponding to the Younger Dryas event, the cataclysm that hit the Earth, causing a lot of tsunamis, the icing, ice glacier to melt and to dramatically raise the sea level many, many hundreds, if not feet. And this skull found in this island is fascinating. And scientists are now thinking there may have been enough land for these animals to cross from one part of the land into another, basically meaning that the level of water rose to the point that it created these islands. And it makes you think that maybe they should be doing some diving off the coast a little bit to see if they have any other evidence of the water rising. But anyhow, small island, and they had seen a number of evidence of footprints, mammoth footprints, and to discover this skull is kind of cool. And the other unique thing, this is what they call a pygmy mammoth. It's just 4 to 6 feet tall. It was a little elephant. So anyhow, you can read all about it, Earth Ancients, Facebook, go to the group page. Kind of interesting. Cool news. Earth Ancients is sponsored by Gaia. And this month, Gaia is offering a special introductory program that gives you access to thousands of unique programs on the pyramids, on ancient technology, sacred geometry, just thousands of topics that you can see preview by going to gaia.com/earthancients. And you will get not only an opportunity to see these items, but also there's a lot of groundbreaking programs. Graham Hancock's on there, Nassim Harriman, Dave Wilcox, just all the top people are on this website. So when you support Gaia, you support Earth Ancients. And if you like our show, please support them because it really helps us keep the programming top notch and helps us expand. We're expanding each month, and each year we want to have something new for you. So remember, it's gaia.com/earthancients. Okay, so here's our guest for today. This was pre-recorded. He is in Java, Indonesia. This was recorded 2 days ago. And when this recording is over, I'll come back and talk about our next guest for next week.
In the last year, we've discovered a lot of information regarding advanced cultures in Indonesia. We've learned about the discovery of the Gunung Pinang pyramid in Java. Now we're told that it's been dated to 20,000 years or older by Dr. Danny Hillman Natuwajaja, who is a geologist and was tasked with excavating that site, which is amazing. We learned that it was a very sophisticated pyramid. But what we didn't understand is who was the culture that built that pyramid. And it's an important discovery because it shows that there were advanced people in Indonesia 20,000 plus years ago. We also heard from people like Bruce Cunningham, who is a frequent traveler to Indonesia, has a touring company, who has discovered and spoken about a number of pyramids that are in different islands in Indonesia. And his specific reference to a pyramid called Sukha Hindu pyramid, which appears to look like a smaller version of a Mayan pyramid, which personally, when I look at it, it has some similarities and is obviously a pyramid, but it may have been used for something else. We just don't know that. But this is a fascination, and today my guest is Danny Urwantu, who is a researcher who has written a very interesting book on his discoveries in Indonesia. Now, Danny is a civil engineer. He's an expert in hydrology, hydraulic structures, dams, and hydropower. And he has lived in the area for about 27 years and has been doing a tremendous amount of research. And this new book he's written is called Atlantis, The Lost City is in Java Sea. Danny, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Hello.
Now, you have studied a great deal of a lot of these ruins in Indonesia, and you've written a very interesting book that we're going to talk about today. But was there a specific trigger point of evidence that you found that you believe is evidence of Atlantis, or was it a combination of items over a period of time that really led you to think that maybe this was Plato's Atlantis?
Well, actually, I have gathered about 60 or more evidence that Atlantis was located here in Indonesia, or generally in Sundaland. Yeah. Sundaland is a vast area in Southeast Asia during the Ice Age, exposed from the sea because of the sea level lower than today. During the Atlantis, the sea water level was about 60 meters below today, and a vast area was exposed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From this one, it is the Plato's mention that the Atlantis was greater than Libya and Asia put together. Mm-hmm. And the place in the world in that time, about 11,600 years ago, only this place. This is only one point. Another 60 point, I got a lot more evidence. Before, I didn't believe that Atlantis was in Indonesia, but after more than 6 years research, now I believe that Atlantis was in Indonesia.
Okay. So your book does highlight Sundaland, which is where, what is the capital of that area, so people get an idea of where Sundaland is?
Mm-hmm. Atlantis is the name of a country. Yeah. But the city itself, the capital city, is also Atlantis. Yeah. From my research, that Sundaland was the country of Atlantis. Then I researched the characteristics of the area. Among them are the plain, a vast plain with a certain size, and then the waterway system, and then the city. So my conclusion is that the city is in Java Sea now, under the Java Sea now.
Okay, under the Java Sea. We're going to get into melting glaciers here in a minute, because a lot of your theories are that, and by the way, those of you listening, this book, Atlantis, The Lost Sea and the Java, The Lost City and the Java Sea, is filled with wonderful maps that show the evidence of glaciers melting and covering a huge part of Indonesia and the surrounding area. But to begin with, I mean, when I look at these areas, and I've spoken to other people who've been there, and I've seen a lot of photographs, it appears that there is a pyramid culture in Indonesia. Wouldn't you say that's correct? That there was a pyramid culture?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, if that's the case, that kind of leads us to think that it's connected possibly with other pyramid cultures, say the Maya or the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And did you find any similarities in the pyramid culture that you discovered in Indonesia as compared to other ancient cultures around the world?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Indonesia, is the shape is simpler or older than the others.
Mm-hmm.
So we have here what we call the earth and stone step pyramid structure, referred to as Punden Perundak, means a worship place at the top of a hill with steps, stone steps at its slope. So this kind of structure are many spread over the archipelago. And then some of them were rebuilt and then rebuilt again and put some architectural decorations, and then become temples. Many temples are in the structure of pyramids, like Borobudur, Gunung Padang, Suko, and many others. More than hundreds of them.
Okay. And has anyone done any kind of electromagnetic testing to see if these pyramids were built on geomagnetic fields or under ley lines, energy fields of any kind?
Actually, I don't research for that yet. But I have one research that all of these structures are located at what we call the geological arc. Why it, they are placed at this location? Because of the materials. The materials are abundant, stones, especially in this area, and the hill, many hills in this area. So people want to build the pyramid normally at the top of the hill.
That's interesting. I mean, we're all familiar with Angkor Wat, and we know that the Khmer Empire built that huge complex, that city, and now it's come out through LIDAR scans that it was a much larger place than just the complex, the main complex that we're all familiar with. Is it your belief that the Khmer Empire was a offshoot of Atlantis, or was it a separate group? How do we categorize Angkor Wat in what you've discovered?
Actually, it is too far to connect all these cultures to Atlantis, because Atlantis was very long ago, and many cultures have been developed in this area. So direct connection I cannot see, but the traditions like pyramid building is many here. Angkor Wat is also pyramid building, and also the others in that area.
Okay. Is there any other researchers that you have or authors that you have used to support your theories that have written about Indonesia as a possible location for Atlantis?
Yes, of course, yeah. Before, in the 19th century, there were two books about the connection of Indonesia-Atlantis. And then in the 20th century, some also make research. One of them is the late professor, Brazilian professor, Aricio Nunes dos Santos. He had published a book about the connection of Atlantis in Indonesia. He believed that Atlantis was located in Indonesia with many evidence. And from that, I developed the research about from 2010 until now, still ongoing. And I got a lot of evidence, more evidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is what's curious to me. I have spoken with and done research on the Maya of Central mm-hmm. America and of a number of American Native American groups. And a lot of them believe that there was an island in the Pacific known as Mu or Lemuria. And James Churchwood wrote extensively on this island in the early turn of the century. And this is apparently was also, according to him, a pyramid culture. In fact, he believed that a lot of the pyramids, a lot of the culture in Central America, Mexico, was derived from this Lemuria. And the natives in America believe that they are descendants of this Lemuria, this Mu. Why isn't that place your focus? Why do you believe it's Atlantis and not the earlier Lemuria or Mu?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I want to research also Mu or Lemuria, but I cannot find a strong basic for the theory because it is based on assumptions and also new. The theory is also new. I cannot find the original differences of this theory, so I stopped to research that one. And Atlantis is very clearly mentioned by Plato in words, many words, but very, very good words from Plato. So I continue the Atlantis.
Okay. So give us a good example of Sudanland and parallel with Plato's description of Atlantis. Is there a land? Is there some land forms that are kind of close to and parallel his description of Plato that are in Indonesia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sudanland is the white area. So the characteristic was mentioned by Plato. Many characteristic, the land with the sun at the above, so it is in the tropical. Yeah? Also, the rainfall on also two seasons. The condition of the land, fertile lands, good land, the best soil in the world. Yeah? It is clearly referred to the Sudanland. Also, the activity, volcanic activity, for example, the earthquakes and then tsunami, also mentioned by Plato. Mm-hmm. And most important thing is that the land subsidence, he call it like this, that actually the seal of water rise. It is very accurate that Sudanland is the most probable. Also, at the time, 11,600 years ago, is fit with the geological era. This is the end of the Pleistocene and the start of the Holocene, precisely at the time. So there must be something happen at that time. This mentioned by Plato that Atlantis there was a flood and earthquake that devastated the Atlantis.
Okay. Have you found any buildings that would be related to any description in his Plato's books?
Actually, not building. The characteristic, like the plane. Plato mentions that there was a vast plane with a certain size. Yeah? You can see in my book. Yeah? This plane is very fertile with waterways inside the plane, and then protected at the north by mountains, and open at the south by the sea. So it is. I have searched all over the world, and I can only found in a place now in southern Kalimantan, in Indonesia. This is one of the, and then the waterway system. There are four kind of canal that with a different use. The main canal are the perimeter canal. This is perimetering the plane. And then the inland canal is parallel and flow to the south, to the sea. And then the transverse canal that connecting the inland canals. And then the irrigation channels that produces to harvest each year. This is very accurate to the condition in southern Kalimantan.
Okay.
The canal is now the rivers, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you, as a hydrologist, have discovered these canals. And so they're artificial canals that are... Are you saying that they're very old canals, or they're just very accurately cut? Is that what you're saying?
The characteristics, the size, actually, I can calculate by hydraulic formula that the size mentioned by Plato is cannot convert it to the capacity of the flow. And I calculated this reverse in southern Kalimantan in almost precise. And then the distance also, almost precise. And the conditions almost precise. And the plane itself also very precise. Yeah. That the shape is rectangular and oblong, facing to the south. You can see in my book, the picture. Yeah.
Educate us listeners on this. So you're talking about very precise canals. And the fact that Plato talked about these canals in his book, but they must be massive. They must be massive canals, because if they're supporting a seafaring culture, he describes them, as encircling the city, that you come in and then you come out of these canals. Are you saying that these are circular canals, or are these straight canals? What did you discover? Is it, and by the way, was it through satellite mapping, satellite imagery that you found these canals?
Yeah, many data I have. Yeah, satellite mapping, bathymetric surveys, and then many published maps. Yeah, now you can find over the internet. Many, yeah. And about the circular canal, that is not what I'm talking about. Circular canal or circular water is only in the city. Yeah, it's different from the canal that I was talking about. Yeah.
Okay. And is there any way to know how these canals were cut when you go looking at them? I mean, they must be ancient. If they are, based on Plato's description, is there any way to tell how old they are?
No research for the age, but the condition, the orientations, and capacity, the dimensions are still we can see now. This long time, 11,600 years, is very long time for rivers to reshape and reshape again. But in general condition, the condition is preserved until now.
So they've stayed pretty intact, is what you're saying. They haven't really collapsed too much. So they were well engineered. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Peter mentioned that it was artificial, means made by man. Yeah. But of course, in this long time, they have been reshaped because of the flood and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you, when you look at these canals, do you think that they have an appearance of having a machined look, like they, a machine would cut them? Or is it another way of having to be cut when you look at them?
Of course, we cannot see it now, yeah, because it was very long ago and many floods happened there. Yeah, so the shape is now natural, yeah, seems natural. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a number of different authors who reference aspects of Atlantis, and you have Stephen Oppenheimer's book, Eden in the East, who talks a lot about the rise of sea levels. Did his book influence you in your discoveries?
Yes, of course. Influenced a lot, yeah. This is the first time this Sunda Land theory is exposed to the world. Yeah, so mm-hmm. I use it in my book.
Okay. Yeah, you have a number of wonderful maps that show geological changes and the melting of the ice caps and the rising of the oceans. You show a glacial period of 21,000 years ago. And I'm just interested, do you believe that because the water rose significantly that there is a lot that we could discover underwater in Indonesia?
Yes. The last glacial period, about 21,000 years ago, the water level was about 120 meters below now. So, in the same time, civilization was developed because of the ideal conditions to live. There are many food there, so no problem for the food. So, the civilization will be developed very fast. And the civilization at the time, they use water to move, to move from one place to another, and to find food and so on. Yeah. So the water culture, or the riverine culture, was the basic of this civilization. So that time, these places are now underwater. So I expect that when we research that place, we can find something.
Well, has anyone gone to that Sudanland area and done underwater archaeology or any research at all?
Unfortunately, not. Yeah. Until now, there were not any research underwater, especially the Javasi. They make this for other purpose, but not for archaeological.
Okay. Would you say that there is a possibility of a very great advanced aged culture that's underwater? Because, Plato said that Atlantis was destroyed approximately 11,000 to 12,000 years ago. is it your belief that it's a very, very older, old culture that might be under the water?
Mm-hmm. Yes. According to Oppenheimer, that human reached this area about 70,000 years ago. And from that time, because of the ideal conditions, humans can develop very, very rapidly. So within this period, from 70,000 to approximately 12,000 years ago, it's a long time for them to develop. And as mentioned by Plato, the population of the Atlantis is about 20 million people. This is only one of the states among the 10 states. So it is very probable that this population, the civilization, can develop into an advanced technology measured in the time, of course, not to this time.
Okay. You give a whole bunch of examples of different Earth conditions. You talk about earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanic eruptions. Mm-hmm. How do these play a part in an ancient past? Do you believe that those are all contributing factors to the demise of the culture of Atlantis, or are you just showing that because it is something to consider?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, yeah. The demise of Atlantis, I believe that from a tsunami, because it is mentioned by Plato that the flood came from the sea, so it is a tsunami. And also earthquake mentioned. And you know that this area is full of tsunamis and then earthquake and volcano eruptions, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the culture has been developed that time, that demise again and again and many times develop and demise. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your discovery of some evidence of Atlantis. Can you talk a little bit about the examples of the Kala face? And why that's important. That's Balinese mythology, but I'm just curious if you could talk a little bit about that.
Say it again.
The Kala face, you have a lot of references to these different faces, these mm-hmm. and how that might mm-hmm. be part of an ancient culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kala, yeah. I make this research because of the similarity with Heracles. Heracles and Kala are similar. First, they were born from a supreme god that make love with other women. Not under woman, but with a woman with uncontrolled mind. And the second, Kala and Heracles are very brutal, have very brutal characters. And then both are the not a god actually. But a semi-god, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then I connected Heracles with Kala because of the pillars of Heracles. Plato mentions that Atlantis were bordered by the Greek called as pillars of Heracles. So similar to the pillar of Heracles. And I found many places here with such a pillars, with the faces of Kala, all over in the Arkabalago, until now, and also used as the bordering monuments. So I assume that what Plato says, the Pillar of Heracles, is actually the monument of with color faces.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the resources. You have a lot here on raw resources like gold and silver, and Plato talks about gold in ancient Atlantis, and you actually show examples of gold resources in Indonesia. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's important in your research?
Okay, yeah. Plato mentions there were gold, then silver, and then bronze, and then orichalcum. Know that these resources are abundant here in Indonesia. Especially for the bronze, that the bronze is made from copper and tin. Also, tin itself is mentioned by Plato. You know that tin is abundant here, and at the same time, the tin resources is still increasing until now. The only abundant source of tin is only in a in this area.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of examples of gold throughout Indonesia, and I just didn't realize that there's so much of it. Did you discover ancient mines of gold that are very, very old, or what is that?
Yes, many ancient gold mines here in Indonesia, in Sumatra, Java, and Kalimantan. And also the historians have told about the gold from this area. The Roman books mentioned many times about the gold from here.
Okay. I want you to tell me about these maps. You got all these maps in your book. And on figure, you have a one figure, you call it the Atlantis Island, and it's in the real sea. And this island actually, is it an actual photo? Are those the actual canals that are on this image, or is this something that's been created? Because it's fascinating.
Okay, well, so I used the bathymetric map. This is actually accurate enough for this theory. From this bathymetric map, I put it into a software and I make a model to see the pattern of flow. If I put rain on it, then the software creates the rivers, and also I can put also the water level of the sea, so the software can make the islands. So this picture is made from this software.
I mean, is this so? I mean, these images that you added to, I guess it's Kalimantan Island. Is that huge canal still there that you're referring to that leads inland like that? I mean, that must be hundreds of miles long.
Yes, the canals are there now. On land. And the others at the Java Sea, also I can make with the software the continuation of the canal from the land.
Okay, because I mean, I'm going to have to post this for the audience to see this. So it's pretty amazing. This massive canal. How many miles long is this artificial canal? Can you tell us?
Maybe 8 kilometers, yeah.
What is that in miles?
Let me calculate. More than 500 kilometers means maybe about 300 miles or something.
That's a canal that's 300 miles long?
Yes.
That's mind-blowing. That's totally mind-blowing.
And it still exists until now.
Yeah, and it's still functioning. So that's a real, that's a pretty amazing piece of engineering. So those of you listening, I'm going to be posting this image here. It's of Kalimantan Island, which is in Indonesia. Our guest today... believes that this is the evidence for the central city of Atlantis, which would be Poseidon, correct?
Yes.
That would be
Poseidon is the god. Yeah, it's the god, the first person.
Yeah, amazing. Would you say there's still a great deal of ruins that have not been discovered that are good links to your theory on Atlantis, Danny?
Yes, I hope that in the future we can find the evidence of the city. Pato mentioned that the city in the at that time was covered by a reef or soil of Plato call it mud or clay. Yeah, but I can interpret it as a coral reef. Yeah, you know that coral reef can easily grow in a tropical area with shallow water and a lot of sand and a lot of food. Yeah, in Java Sea there are many coral reefs. Yeah. And if hard surface underwater with vertical alignment, then the coral reef will grow very fast in that place. This is also can be possible that the Atlantic city, mostly built of stone and rocks, after the seawater level rise, the coral reef will grow very fast. And one possible location, as you see on the map, is in the under the Java Sea at the southern of Kalimantan.
Okay. Tell us a little more evidence of a possible Atlantis. Now, you have a section in your book on boat and ship building. Tell us a little bit about that evidence for an ancient seafaring culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually there are many evidence from the mostly from the cave painting. There are many cave paintings here in Southeast Asia that are showing boats. Yeah. And the age is very ancient. The most ancient one may be about 40,000 years ago. So because of the condition of the area, there are many islands and also sea. So seafaring is the most important for their movement or communications.
Okay. How about animal life? You mentioned that elephant is big in here, and Plato talks about elephants, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So Plato mentioned that there were a lot of elephants in Atlantis. You know that there are four species of Asian elephant, and two of them are in Indonesia and Malaysia. They are Sumatran elephant in the island of Sumatra and Kalimantan elephant in the island of Kalimantan. Now still exists. Yeah. And the other Javan elephant are already extinct. It's similar to the Kalimantan Kalimantan elephant.
So the elephant is, but the elephant is still around Indonesia and is part of a lot of the culture, isn't it?
Yes, still now still used in Sumatra, especially in Sumatra. In Java, there are many artifacts that mention about elephant. So elephant is an important animal here in Indonesia. Kalimantan may be also important at that time, but because of the killing of by the people, then now almost extinct. Only a few hundreds maybe now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fascinating. There's so much in this book that we could talk about, but we're getting down to our final minutes here. Have you discovered any artifacts that you would consider evidence of Atlantis, any kind of tools that Plato talked about, or any kind of devices, navigation devices for seafaring voyages or things like that that are in Indonesian museums?
No, actually. No artifact, the archaeological artifact that's showing really the connection with the Atlantis. But other artifacts are many that I still cannot connect this to Atlantis. Know that Atlantis, most of the devices were made from wood, yeah, and also metals maybe. And this kind of materials cannot survive long, maybe only a few hundred years. Mm-hmm. Only the stone that we can expect for the artifact. Yeah. And the stone were mostly to build houses and also the citadel and the canal maybe.
But I mean, there's evidence of megalithic structures throughout Indonesia, isn't there? I mean, wouldn't you say that that's some evidence of advanced culture because of their megalithic stonework?
Yes, this is one of the items in my book. Yeah, that the megalithic structures here are many, so many. So that also one evidence that before there was civilization here, very ancient civilization in this area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. Well, listen, before I conclude this interview with you, do you have anything you want to tell our audience that is your belief that this Sudanland is definitely the core and the concept left to us by Plato? Of being Atlantis?
Yes, of course. Yeah. As I said before, that before I didn't believe, yeah, but now I believe because of so many evidence here in Sundaland that match the Plato's narratives. Yeah. I already gathered about 60 points. Yeah. And if the audience want to read my articles, not the book, I have the website, atlantisjavasi.com. Yeah. Okay. And also I put a video in YouTube also, Atlantis in the Javasi, and that can be easily understand. Also in Facebook, I also many discussions. Yeah.
Okay, so the website again is atlantisjavasi.com?
.com, yes.
Okay. And There's also articles, and you created a video, which is great. Is the video based on the book?
Yes, the video is based on the book and also recent research, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Danny Owontu, thank you very much. The book is Atlantis, The Lost Sea in the Java, excuse me, The Lost City in the Java Sea. It's got some amazing graphs, and you've done a tremendous amount of work on this. And I want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. Danny is quite a researcher. You can get his book on Amazon. Atlantis, The Lost City is in Java Sea. The graphics alone are worth the price. I don't know what the cost is. This book was sent to me. But he's done a lot of really great research, and it's a solid book on an ancient culture. So check it out. My guest next week is Frank Joseph. And Frank, we've had on the program before. He is the editor of Ancient America magazine. His new book, The History of Ancient America, is quite fascinating. It just came out, and it details some fascinating new signs, fascinating new discoveries that mainstream scientists don't want to talk about. It's a little too scary for them. So check it out next week, Saturday the 24th. I hope you have a great day. Take care.